All right, zoning and subdivision amendments. And it says here seeks to correct issues that are creating unnecessary delays and update the adaptive reuse provisions to encourage conversion of underutilized vacant commercial properties.
So there, that's a good summary. This bill is huge. This has some really great things in it. And I could go on for a really long time and I'll just try to hit the highlights, but this is definitely one to dig into from a development standpoint. Just hitting the highlights. Minor subdivisions, which a couple years ago we moved towards some administrative review for those smaller projects that didn't need any variances or any other relief. That's minor subdivisions are now going to include an unlimited number of lots that if they're on a public roadway. So that is a large change. The other big change when it comes to minor subdivisions is a new tool, which is called oversized lot subdivisions. And this could be a really big tool for the use to develop, single family houses. And that is basically the reverse merger. So if you have a lot that is double the size of the lots in the area, you're allowed administratively, as long as you don't need any other relief, to subdivide that lot into two or however many that are consistent with the lot sizes in the area. So that's a big change. The other big change is a couple years ago we required a modification tool which allows you to get some minor dimensional relief administratively. And we've actually allowed that to be used for lot size now. It was previously not allowed for lot size and only for other dimensional requirements. But another big change is a new type of modification called neighborhood character-based modification. And it basically means, with respect to a couple dimensions, such as frontage, that you're allowed a modification up to 30% if your, let's use frontage as an example, is equal to or more than 50% of the lots in the surrounding area. So there are these tools on a smaller basis, but you may see a lot more buildable single family lots. So those are two big changes that were in that bill. They were previously in another bill, but at the last hour, they merged into this big bill. There are some changes that cut some red tape. We heard from developers, from engineers, from other stakeholders. For example, pre-app for major developments is now at the option of the developer. We were seeing communities sort of take advantage of the pre-application notice of abutters. It was getting a bit out of control. So that's at the option of the developer now. Legal documents and state permits are now required at final instead of spending the money to get those at an earlier stage of review. And there's some changes with respect to adaptive reuse. We heard from the municipalities, we heard from developers. Municipalities are now allowed to prohibit adaptive reuse where it's an industrial area that would not be suitable for residential development. However, the low mod requirement was reduced to 10% instead of 20%, and there's no density cap. It's basically what you can get under the building and fire codes. So that's a big benefit for those types of projects. But again, there's a lot in this. It's definitely worth a look.
Yeah, sounds like it. So we'll have thank you for that summary. We'll definitely make sure that that bill in its entirety is posted.
Could I ask a question?
Yeah, go ahead, Adam. It's all yours.
Hey, so Joelle, if you have a say a 20,000 square foot lot in an R25 zone, but a majority of all the homes in the area are 10,000 square feet, Does that mean conceivably you may be able or should be able to subdivide that 20,000 square foot lot into two 10,000 square foot lots so it's consistent with the neighborhood?
Right. So, you know, you call up a surveyor, they do a compilation plan, which is what's required in the statute. And if you can show 50%, if you can show your resulting two lots, let's say, are consistent with 50% of the lot sizes in the area, then you get to subdivide that lot. And then to couple it with a bill that passed a couple years ago, you get to take advantage of the substandard lot reductions in dimensional requirements at the same time. So if you don't meet those reduced setbacks, then you obviously need relief. But it you know, you see these two tools working together now. So,
and Joelle, you're saying that's administrative, right? This will all be done administratively?
As long as you don't need further relief. Absolutely.
Meaning zoning, planning board type stuff, right?
Yeah. So the subdivision itself, you know, as long as you can prove that it's, again, those resulting lots are equal to or greater than, then that should be done administratively under the new law.
And then if you end up with two 10,000 square foot lots in an R25 zone, you then get some relief from the setback requirements. Is it formulaic, or is it something the town has subjective, or how does that work?
So the town has the option now, and that was clarified in this bill as well. So the town can say, hey, look, we've got a zone. We've got an R10 zone. Use those setback requirements. Or they can choose to say you get a, you know, proportionality calculation where, you know, your X percent of what's required, your lot size is 50% of what's required in the zone, you get a 50%, that's extreme, but you get a 50% reduction in our setback requirements. So they have both options. If there is no zone that meets the lot resulting lot size requirements, then you go to that proportionality calculation.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.